How to make an unplanned pull-up feel simple. The spontaneous pull-up is back, and you don't need to stress to make it special. And this article is by Elizabeth Ayula. A lost form of connection that some of us yearn for is the spontaneous pull-up. There's a certain magic in an unplanned visit that has been lost in chaotic schedules, rigid boundaries, and social media aesthetics. Receiving the unexpected, you home? Text is an opportunity for storytelling, hours of belly-aching laughter, and people overstaying their welcome in the best way. What we forget is that hosting isn't about perfection. It's about presence, quality time, and the opportunity to allow people to experience you in your authenticity. In other words, there's no need to overplan or overprepare to host the people you love. You can work with what you have and still ensure your friends feel cared for and catered to. This summer, we're leaning into ease, not stress. Here are a few tips from TV personality, host, and Simply Lemonade lover Lelis Santiago on how to keep it simple when the crew pulls up unplanned. Ditch perfection, keep the feeling. When it comes to hosting, my biggest tip is stop waiting for everything to be perfect, Santiago says. Nobody cares if your throw pillows aren't fluffed or if you didn't spend 3 hours cooking. People remember how you made them feel. Good energy, good conversation, and something to sip will take you way further than perfect. Do a quick vibe check. I'm actually a big fan of the unplanned pull-up. Some of the best memories happen when someone texts, "What are you doing?" and ends up on your couch 20 minutes later. To make it feel easy, I do what I call a quick vibe check. Light a candle, turn on a playlist, straighten up the common areas, and put out a few snacks. Suddenly, it feels like you planned the whole thing. Let your table do the talking. A thoughtfully styled tablescape doesn't have to be complicated. It just needs thought. A pop of color, layered textures, and pieces that feel like you elevate even the simplest hangout. This is where your hosting style quietly speaks volumes. Keep your essentials stocked. As for essentials, I'm never without drinks in the fridge. Simply Lemonade is one of my go-tos because it instantly makes guests feel taken care of, whether you're pouring a glass over ice or dressing it up with fresh fruit. I love the fresh squeezed taste and the use of all natural ingredients. To serve, I also always keep cute glasses, candles, ice, and a few snacks on hand because I like people to feel comfortable the second they walk through my door. Focus on the energy in your space. At the end of the day, hosting isn't about impressing people. It's about creating a space where people can relax, laugh, and stay way longer than they plan to. That's when you know you've done it right. Exclusive. The hands that built the White House. A family learns its hidden history. And this article is by Shelby Stewart. Ashley Swain was standing in a room about to learn something that would rearrange her sense of who she was when her mind went somewhere unexpected. A dorm room at Spelman College, the night Barack Obama was elected president. I'm going back to the moment when President Obama was first elected. I was an undergraduate at Spelman College, Swain told Good Morning America co-anchor Robin Roberts. And to know that I'm a descendant of someone who helped build the White House where the first Black African American president was gives me goosebumps and is like something I would have never thought or imagined. The moment is the emotional center of American story, the hands that built the White House, an exclusive Robin Roberts report that Good Morning America previewed as part of Disney Celebrates America, a 24-hour multi-platform special marketing the country's 250th anniversary. In it, Roberts sits down with Swain and her mother, Jackie Smith Sullivan, the first confirmed living descendants ever identified of an enslaved person who helped construct the White House. It is, organizers say, a first of its kind. No other genealogical organization is known to have completed this kind of research and confirmed a direct family line back to one of the enslaved laborers who built the presidential mansion. Enslaved Black Americans helped build the White House is by now a widely documented historical fact. What has remained elusive for generations is the ability to trace that fact forward into the present, to find actual people alive today who can say, with documented certainty, this was my ancestor. That is the gap the 10 Million Names Project was built to close. Run by American ancestors, formerly known as the New England Historic Genealogical Society, and the oldest and largest national genealogical organization in the country, the project is dedicated to recovering the names of the roughly 10 million people enslaved in pre- and post-colonial America, names too often erased from ledgers, bills of sale, and family memory alike. Working with researchers from the project, ABC News traced a line of descent that had gone unclaimed for generations. Sullivan learned that her third great-grandfather helped build the White House. Her daughter, Swain, learned the same laborer was her fourth great-grandfather. The discovery reached two women living in very different lives in very different cities. Sullivan lives in Philadelphia. Swain, married and the mother of three boys, lives in Atlanta and holds a PhD in neuroscience. Neither had any reason to suspect their family tree ran directly into the foundation of the White House, until historians, genealogists, and what producers describe as a groundbreaking ancestry research brought the line into focus. For Roberts, who has spent her career sitting across from people at the exact moment their lives change, the assignment carried personal weight. Ashley and Jackie's story remind us that history is not just found in books. It lives on through people, families, and the truths we continue to uncover, Roberts said. As part of Disney Celebrates America, it was my honor, in collaboration with the 10 Million Names Project, to help tell this family's deeply moving American story. The resulting report leans into that idea deliberately. Rather than treating the discovery as a historical footnote, the special follows Sullivan and Swain through the process of learning it. The records, the researchers, the moment the connection is confirmed, and lets their reactions carry the story. It is, in that sense, less a history lesson than a reunion. Two women meeting an ancestor they never knew they had more than two centuries later. The report sits inside a broadcast built around the sweep of American history, its landmarks, its landscapes, its founding documents, but it insists on making room for a harder, quieter thread. The people whose labor built the country's most symbolic buildings without their names ever being written down. As the project's framing puts it, the goal is a story that confronts the painful contradictions at the heart of American story, while also celebrating the resilience, strength, and enduring contributions of Black Americans. For Swain and Sullivan, the timing lines with a certain symmetry, a family's long-buried history surfacing in the same week the nation marks 250 years of its own. Somewhere in that overlap is the point of the whole project, that story of how America was built was never only written in the founding documents. Some of it had to be found. Disney Celebrates America, the network's 24-hour multi-platform event commemorating the country's 250th anniversary. The broadcast began Friday, July 3rd at 10 p.m. and continued through Saturday, July 4th across ABC, ABC News, ESPN, National Geographic, Disney Plus, Hulu, FX, Freeform, and ABC's owned television stations and affiliates. A first look at American story, The Hands That Built the White House with Robin Roberts, aired during a special 4th of July edition of Good Morning America, which was live from 7 to 9 a.m. Eastern on July 4th. The full 30-minute special streamed beginning Monday, July 6th, on ABC News Live, Disney Plus, and Hulu. Malcolm D. Lee, Chloe Bailey, and Lucien Lavascount pull back the curtain on Peacock's Strung. The director explains why he stepped away from comedy, while the film stars reflect on working alongside the iconic Lynn Whitfield in the new thriller. And this article is by Okla Jones. One thing audiences have learned about Malcolm D. Lee over the past three decades is to expect the unexpected. While his name has become synonymous with films like The Best Man, Girls Trip, and Night School, his latest project marks the first time he stepped behind the camera for a psychological thriller. With Strung, the veteran filmmaker embraces suspense while assembling a cast led by Chloe Bailey, Lynn Whitfield, Lucien Lavascon, Anna Diop, and Coco Jones for a story filled with mystery and deception. Premiering as the opening night selection of the 30th American Black Film Festival before arriving on Peacock, Strung follows Layla, a gifted violinist, trying to rebuild her life after suffering a devastating personal loss. Unable to secure a coveted position with the Philharmonic, she spends her days teaching music to children while staying with her best friend Jasmine, played by Jones. Everything changes after Layla meets Audra, an affluent woman portrayed by Whitfield, who offers her a live-in position tutoring her gifted granddaughter, Zuri. Lee immediately knew the screenplay offered something unlike anything he'd ever directed before. "The truth of the matter is, I don't consider myself a one-trick pony," he told Essence. "I love doing comedy, but I've always wanted to do different genres. I've always wanted to find the right project that would speak to me. And when the script came across my desk, I was like, oh, this is a really great page-turner. It's lean-forwardable. I was talking back to the script as I was reading it." Although Strung marks new territory for Lee, audiences familiar with his previous films will still recognize one defining characteristic. Relationships remain at the heart of the story. Every revelation depends on trust, betrayal, and the complicated dynamics inside one family. Suspense simply becomes the vehicle carrying those themes. Music also plays a major role throughout the film. Rather than using orchestral pieces simply as background, Lee wanted the violin to become part of Layla's identity while adding another layer of tension. "Layla was already a violinist," Lee explained. "I thought briefly making her a cellist, but I was like, that's not sexy." He believes the instrument naturally lends itself to suspense. It's haunting, it's beautiful, it's melodic, and it stretches genres as well. Music is such an important element to this movie overall. "I love strings in general because they can bring such emotion to a project. I think it was the perfect instrument to center this movie around." Finding someone capable of carrying nearly every scene became equally important. Lee says Bailey possessed the emotional range required for the lead's complicated journey. "We wanted to find someone who was young and vibrant and beautiful and sexy to also play a range of emotions," he said. Bailey welcomed the opportunity, though one of her biggest takeaways had little to do with suspense. Working opposite Whitfield became an acting masterclass. "I am a present person, but Miss Lynn taught me to be even more present," Bailey said. "What I admired about her is that, yes, she knows who she is and how people love her, but when it comes to her craft, she does not play with that. Watching Whitfield remain fully committed during every take left a lasting impression. Even when the camera coverage was not on her, she still gave 110% for the scene so that the other person could act and give the best reactions in that way," Bailey added. "As accomplished as she is, she really didn't need to do that." Lavascon, who plays the film's enigmatic counterpart to Layla, additionally appreciated the director's approach behind the camera, particularly seeing Lee apply storytelling instincts developed through years of making ensemble films. Malcolm's a master of creating conflict and great characters, and it puts them together and it becomes what we've grown to love," he said. "But throwing that danger element on top of it just kind of stretches things in a whole different direction." "I learned a lot on this project," Lavascon said. "Malcolm knows exactly what he wants, how he wants it. I think that you kind of bring what you can to that set, and yeah, it's a beautiful compromise." Produced by Tyler Perry, Jason Blum, Tim Palin, Lee, and Dominique Telson, Strung represents a new creative chapter for a filmmaker who has spent years expanding his resume. With suspense replacing comedy and mystery driving the story from beginning to end, Lee proves there are still new directions left to explore. Strung is now streaming on Peacock. Wale dishes on BET Awards, grooming, and his secret hair care brand. And this article is by India S.B. Jones. Nominated for Album of the Year at this year's BET Awards, Wale's 8th studio album, Everything is a Lot, is his most personal yet. It's one of my best bodies of work, and the recognition from a Black institution is important to me, he told Essence exclusively. Full of yearning and introspection, the album is a reflection of his getting ready process for the evening. And while you may expect an award-winning artist's dressing room to be bass-boosted, I like quiet, he says, with candles burning. The rest of my life is filled with music or conversation. My brain has melodies on loop until the end of time. So when I'm getting ready for a high-energy event like an award show, silence and calm is great. Making peace and presence part of his preparation, he says being centered before he walks out the door is a state he exists in throughout the day. You carry that with you no matter what's happening around you, he says. The other part, however, is a timeless outfit, partial to classic silhouettes. While I can't go wrong with the comfort and class of a Gucci suit. I did a blue Gucci suit to the Grammys this year, so for BET, we're going chocolate, he says. It's a suit his stylist, Jay Hall, calls a timeless silhouette with refined modern finishes. A pinstripe, double-breasted suit carries an enduring elegance that exists beyond trends. And that balance of classic tailoring and contemporary execution is a language we're consistently drawn to, Hall says. Styling Wale in the middle of his tour with Smino, Hall describes the process as meticulous and intentional. Styling an awards show in the middle of a tour comes with its own set of challenges, he says, with Wale taking a pit stop in Los Angeles before heading to Detroit. But we've stayed grounded in the idea that have guided us from the beginning, taste over trends and collaboration over ego. In on the collaboration was celebrity hairstylist and trichologist Dr. Carrie Williams, PhD. We've been trying to experiment a lot this year with locks and shorter styles, Wale says, which is Williams' favorite part. There's definitely pressure because we're constantly creating something fresh, and oftentimes in a short time frame, she says. But we bounce ideas off each other, and he trusts my execution, which makes the creative process so much fun. Wale has locks reaching the middle of his back, but Williams still manages to give the illusion they're shorter. For the BET Awards, I wanted to lean into a textured chin-length bob that felt modern and cool, she says, while making the style more masculine and fresh. To achieve the look, she started with a deep scalp cleanse using the products from Wale's unreleased hair care brand. We nourish the scalp and locks using products Wale is developing that are formulated with ingredients like ceramides, niacinamide, avocado oil, rosemary oil, and blackseed oil to support scalp health, hydration, and natural shine, she says. Wale adds, I've had my locks for a long time, so I'm really intentional about keeping them healthy and hydrated. Then, using a coiling method, she twisted each lock into itself, which shortened the style into a natural textured chin-length bob. The look is one of his most experimental styles, which shows just how versatile locks really are. Being invited into these milestone moments is something I never take for granted, Williams says. Between shows, getting his hair done for the BET Awards was a moment to breathe. Hair is self-care, and creating that peaceful space before such a big moment is just as important as the finished style, she says. For Hall, these moments are part of a lasting archive. Years from now, someone can search the 2026 BET Awards red carpet and revisit the work exactly as it happened, he says. There's something incredibly meaningful about creating moments that live on well beyond the night itself. Now, as Wale wraps up his North American Everything is a Lot tour, he's giving his all for the final two shows, but he still has new stuff coming. I won't say too much yet, but definitely keep an eye out, he says. Needless to say, hair care is self-care, and you take care of yourself consistently, and the rest takes care of itself. First look, Tyler Perry reunites the cast of Why Did I Get Married Again? Netflix has unveiled new images from the long-awaited sequel, bringing familiar faces back together for another unforgettable vacation. And this article is by Okla Jones. Tyler Perry is revisiting one of his most beloved film franchises. Nearly two decades after Why Did I Get Married first introduced audiences to four couples navigating the highs and lows of marriage, the filmmaker is bringing the story back with Why Did I Get Married Again, premiering exclusively on Netflix on September 9th. Netflix has released the first look at the film, which reunites many of the franchise's familiar faces while introducing a major new addition to the cast. Taraji P. Henson joins returning stars Jill Scott, Richard T. Jones, Michael J. White, Tasha Smith, and Sharon Leal for another chapter. This time, the longtime friends gather for a destination wedding. As fans of the first two films have come to expect, the celebration quickly gives way to difficult conversations, unexpected revelations, and the emotional highs and lows that have been part of the series from the beginning. Additional cast members include Lamon Rucker, Armani Greer, Everett Osborne, Da Vinci, Layla De Leon Hayes, Jaden Michael, Charles L. Smith II, Derek A. King, and Sydney Winbush. Released in 2007, Why Did I Get Married became one of Perry's biggest theatrical successes, introducing audiences to four couples whose annual vacation forced each marriage to confront long-buried truths. Its 2010 sequel, Why Did I Get Married 2, continued the story while expanding emotional stakes for each relationship. Both films have remained fan favorites through the years of television airings and streamings, making the news of a third installment a highly anticipated announcement. Danny Glover reveals he has Alzheimer's disease. The 79-year-old actor's speech, movements, and memories have begun to slow, but he's not letting the diagnosis steal his joy. And this article is by Essence Editors. Acting legend Danny Glover shared an exclusive interview with Today that he was diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease a few years ago. His speech is beginning to slow, as well as his movements and memories, but he's doing okay. "I can live with it in a sense," Glover shared when asked how he's coping, but he's also realistic. "I'm sure as it advances, things are going to be different and changing," the 79-year-old stated in conversation with Lester Holt. Thankfully, though, the actor, who received an honorary Oscar in 2022, is surrounded by family who support him and are helping remove the stigma attached to such a diagnosis. "We all get old. It happens. That's what I think is important." He tells his story, that he has ownership of his life, said Mendissa Glover, the actor's daughter. "That's really important, and the time is now. What better time but now for him to speak for himself? He took me under his wing, and I love him to death," Danny's youngest brother, Martin, said to Holt, "and I'm here to help him now." He also has the support of the Alzheimer's Association, with whom he's working to help others. They note that early detection can make a major difference, and staying physically active, managing one's blood pressure, and any diabetes diagnosis, as well as prioritizing good sleep and staying social, can aid in one's battle with the disease. "He's grateful for the help and the love, especially from his family. They've got my back." And, as he told People as well in an exclusive chat, he's not letting the diagnosis stop his joy. "I still have my daughter. I have friends," Danny shares. "I just want to say, your life continues." Exclusive. MAFS alums Brianna Miles and Vincent Morales are expecting baby number 3. 5 years since they met and married at the altar in Atlanta, the season 12 alums are preparing to welcome baby number 3. This article is by Victoria Umaroji. The Morales family is growing yet again. Married at First Sight season 12 success story Brianna Miles and Vincent Morales, the only couple from their Atlanta-based season still together, are expecting their third child. The couple found out the news while getting ready to start over in a new location. "We found out I was pregnant in March while preparing to locate to Memphis, Tennessee," Brianna tells Essence. "Between the exhaustion, excess bloat, and peak attitude, I knew I was pregnant even before taking a pregnancy test. The test was just confirmation." It's a full circle moment for the couple. Brianna was once nervous about having one child due to health issues. But 5 years since they met and married at the altar, she and Vincent are preparing to welcome baby number 3. Vincent admits he's still wrapping his head around becoming a family of 5, and their dog makes 5.5. "I'm nervous. The family dynamic of going from 2 to 3 kids is going to be wild," Vincent says. "How busy will life be with 3 kids, 3 and under? Overall, I'm super excited for new life and the adventures of the Morales family of 5.5 with Cookie. For Brianna, though, she's stoked. The arrival of a third baby comes as this family starts a new chapter, including moving closer to family, meaning more help and more love to surround them. I love the baby phase and can't wait for baby number three, Brianna shares. More snuggles, sibling dynamic changes, and more love flowing throughout the house. My only concern is that we're outnumbered. Travel will look different. Going out to eat will be insane, but we're ready for the wild ride. Moving closer to family was literally God's timing because it'll be all hands on deck from here on out. The littlest Morales joins sister Ari Bella, born in January 2023, and Kai, born in 2024. Major congratulations are in order for these two. They went from ruminating on the what-ifs about starting a family to expanding not once, not twice, but now three times. Talk about joy overflowing. We have run out of time for today's episode of Essence. We hope you enjoyed listening. Please join us next time. I'm Tyra Banks, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.
Thank you.